the thing I wanted to kind of talk with you guys today about was really about what kind of man do you want to be? I don't know if you guys like ever, I don't know if you think about this yet, or maybe you do, maybe you don't. Again, I'm around university students a lot, so they start to think of these things. And like, if I were to ask the question, like, who do you want to be when you grow up? What would be the first answer you'd probably give? Like, who do you want to be when you grow up? And more like, let's say from a career point of view, like, do you know who you want to, like, what you want to do? Maybe you're already kind of starting to think of that. I don't know. Do you guys? Mm-hmm. Sort of. Does anybody kind of know what they might want to do? Yeah.
I want to be a paleontologist.
Okay. Is that dinosaurs?
Yeah, it's a vertebrate paleontologist.
Oh, that's what you said, skindle, right?
Yeah.
You're on the bones. That's right. That's good. Okay, that's great. Does anybody else kind of have an idea of maybe
engineer, architect.
Yeah, cool.
Just in the more general sense, like, I think I definitely want to be a leader, you know, someone who can bring people closer to Christ, people just show how to live life in a secular world in a good way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to that.
Well, I was going to say kinesiology.
Yeah, kinesiology. Any others? That's okay. I even meet students, you know, at university, they're in a program, but it's still very general to them right now. Like, I'm taking this, but I don't really know what I want to do. But it's interesting, I'll meet a lot of students, actually, that know exactly what they want to do. Like, I want to, you know, I'm going to do my kin, but then I want to go on to, like, med school, and, you know, I might want to do this or that, or law school, whatever. Great. But I wonder sometimes if we never ask the question of who do I want to be? Because it's good that, like, we have dreams of what we want to do. Like, maybe you have a gift in engineering, or maybe you have a gift in, you know, science or biomed or whatever. But is it possible that, I mean, you could even have those jobs, but still not really be the man you want to be? So what's the age range here? Like, who's the youngest here? I'm only looking at you guys because you might actually be older than all these guys. I just don't know. But what's the youngest? Is grade 9 the youngest here?
Nope.
What grade are you guys in?
Seven,
okay. And so the oldest guys would be in grade 12, okay?
Yeah.
So actually, when I was in grade 6, I was a very different man than I am today. I never used to beat up people, but my best friend was that guy. And I would be right beside him while he was either verbally or physically beating up people. And it was interesting, because I had a foul attitude. I was like, my vocabulary was straight out of the dumpster. And that's the life I was. I thought I was the king. Until I had a teacher, his name was Mr. Baker. And we were in gym class. I don't even know what we were doing. I just remember we were in the gym with like a whole ton of basketballs. And I just remember I was like, I wasn't playing basketball, I was just hitting other people's basketballs. And he pulled me aside, and he looked me square in the eyes, and he said, "Joe, if you keep treating people the way you're treating them, one day you'll have no friends, because no one will want to be with you." And my first reaction to him was, "Dude, you don't even know me. Everybody wants to be my friend. Even the guys that were beating up at recess, they even want to be my friend. Don't tell me about nobody wants to be my friend. Come on." But I remember I went home that night, and his words never left me. They haven't even left me since today. If you keep treating people the way you're treating them, one day you will have no friends, because no one will be with you. And he was right. Like, I looked at even my friends at that time. These were guys that I horsed around with, we joked around with. Really, our relationship was a joke. I found out later that some of these guys, I know one of them, like, his parents were going through a divorce at the time. I had no idea. And in many ways, I didn't even support him through that. Because, again, we just joked around the whole time. Everything was a joke. But that's what our relationship was. And he challenged me in a way to really think about, like, are you becoming the man you want to be? Because if you keep on going down this road, let me tell you where it's going to end up. Because I would have said, well, I'm not a bully. I don't bully people. Get this, I was an altar server. I went to Sunday Mass. I never missed a day of my life. I was the church boy. Yet, this is the life I was living. And he called me out and said, like, really, like, do you think you're actually becoming that man? Because I say you're not. The road you're actually going down is this one. And it was a wake-up call that I needed to hear. And that's the kind of the message I want to bring to you guys, too, is who is the man you're becoming? And how badly do you want to become that man? Because I didn't do it in grade 7. It only happened in grade 8 that I started to change. I couldn't do it right away because I didn't want to change. But in grade 8, I started to kind of leave the company of the guys I used to run with. And I actually started to reach out to the guys that I used to bully. It was kind of interesting because I knew all of these guys were going to go to a local high school, public high school. But I was going to go to a Catholic high school about an hour away. And even for many of these guys, I would probably never see them again. And it was just really strong in my heart. Like, I want to reconcile with them. In many ways, I can't make up for all, like, the bullying I've done. But I at least want them to know that, like, you know what? I was wrong. And I'm sorry. And I'll tell you this. There's specifically two guys that I used to bully. That the only people I'm in touch with, even today, this is like almost over 16 years later. The only guys I'm still in touch with from elementary school are those two guys. Because they forgave me. And it actually turned out we had more in common than I did with these other guys I used to hang out with. These guys, the only reason I still kind of am in touch with them because they go to church. And they're actually trying to live out their faith as well. And it was really interesting for me to experience them being merciful to me. Because for so much of my life to them, I hadn't been. And when you find a friend that's merciful to you, you've found a good friend. And they taught me a lot too. Like, this is the man I want to be. I want to be a man who's merciful. Because it's interesting, it's easy to beat up people. It's easy to make fun of people. It's easy to find the faults in other people and rip them apart because of that. It's easy to do that. You know what's not easy? Is loving people. That in many ways, you're going to get made fun of because of that. Like, why would you hang out with that guy? What the hell's wrong with you? Well, I mean, he's a great guy, actually. And where you start to stick out your neck for other guys, that's not easy. But in that, I think that's the actual heart of a man. We often think, too, that being a man is being the one with the most power, the most strength, the one who can crush people. But that's actually not what being a man is. A man knows when to kill, but he also knows when to save life. And often we're focused upon killing the reputation of other people, you know, the pride of people, and really just asserting ourselves. But rarely do we ever try to build up people. That's I think, what a man is. So I want us to just think for a second here. When you die, it's kind of a gut check, you're all going to die one day, all right? Here's the thing, though. You don't know when that's going to happen. I mean, God willing, you'll live a great old life to 80, perhaps, hopefully. But you might not. But the reality is, one day you will die. And when people then talk about you, how do you want to be remembered? When people think about you, after the fact, what will they say about you? Will they see a man who just lived totally for himself? Oh yeah, he had his own goals, he was doing everything he could to get to those goals. And in many ways, he kind of left us behind, and he even kind of put us down for it because he had his goals, his own goals. You know. Are they going to say, like, you know, he had gracious words, he was kind, he was gentle? Or, you know, like, yeah, he was abusive in his language. He tore the flesh off me. You know, I can't think of one nice thing he's ever said to me or one nice thing he's ever done to me. It's a sobering thing to think about, you know, the end. But it helps us again, too, I think, know where we're going. Think about, yeah, the man you want to be. And ask yourself, are you on that path that's going to lead you there? Because if you're not, how badly do you want to change? Because there's no reason to say you have to get locked in some type of identity. Well, I'm the funny guy at school. Like, if I'm not funny and crass and beating up people anymore, like, who's going to accept me? Well, the reality is you might lose a few friends because now. But you might gain better friends later because of it. You know? And so there's 5 points I want to bring up that I think in many ways are going to help us become the man we want to be. So again, when people, again, you know, at the end of your life say things about you, what are some things you want them to say about you? What do you want to be known as? And this is, yeah, I'm throwing it out here. What are some things? How would you want to be known?
Probably compassionate and kind.
Yeah.
Maybe someone that everyone can trust.
Ooh. Yeah.
Someone who encouraged and helped other people to become their own.
Yeah.
Someone who's forgiving.
I'm going to come back to that too. Because you can even think of it too, like on a level too, like what kind of brother do I want? I don't know if you have brothers or sisters, but like what kind of brother do I want to be? What kind of friend do I want to be? You know, one day maybe you guys get married, what kind of husband do I want to be? What kind of dad do I want to be? Because right now, actually, this is where you're building that identity. I mean, you don't just one day say, oh, I want to be, you know, a good father who, you know, is compassionate, is approachable. Well, hopefully you're already starting to build those virtues right now. Because this is, you're tilling the soil to actually make an even greater possibility when you get there. Don't just start thinking, okay, now that I'm married, I should try to be more humble or, you know, less angry. So I think one is like, so the first point, I think, how do we become that man is actually knowing the man that we want to be. One is actually naming it, like, these are the qualities that I desire to see in me. And I think it starts then by making a mission statement. So that's what I'm going to say is number one. I recently did this, and I think it's really important because we forget so quickly, sometimes too, what the purpose and what our goal is. Like I said too, like we can have other goals of like, okay, I want to do this in school, I want to get this type of job, and all these kind of things, but never forget the man you want to be even on that path. Like I said too, like, I mean, when I had those friends, like, I never saw myself as a bully and all that, but it's like, but Joe, like, that's what you are. You can't separate that. That's what you're actually, that's the fruit of that you're doing. So I even see with students that, like, you know, they want to have this goal, and they'll do anything to get to that goal, but it means what, they might have to cheat or steal or lie, but they're like, once they get there, like, oh, but I'm not a liar, I'm not a cheater. But in many ways, because they've lost their focus, because they then were willing to compromise on things as they came up. So I wanted to actually share with you my mission statement. I think a mission statement, the reason to you write it out, and I'm always adding to it. I have it on my phone, so I can always add parts to it. But it's something you can read every day. And you can remind yourself, like, this is the man I want to be. So I'm going to read this to you. And it's pretty comprehensive. And so, I mean, it might... Yeah, it's gonna touch on a lot of different things, so you can kind of see the scope of even what a mission statement could be. But I'm gonna read this out to you. And I write it in the present tense, like this is today. So today I resolve to be the man God created me to be. Today I will not get sucked into lust and pornography. This is not who I am. I am dead to sin. When sin comes knocking and says, Joe, it is I respond, I know who you are. But is not I. Today I will show up to all my battles. I will not give in to sadness when I am insulted, humiliated, challenged, rebuked, rejected, or when I make a mistake. This is the man I want to become, a man whose identity is firmly established in God who loves me and gave his life for me. A son who is renewed each day by my Father's embrace and freed from the wound of needing to possess people. A man who believes I can do all things through him who strengthens me. A man who worships the true and living God and does not bow down to man-made idols. A man who does not escape into fantasy but engages the real. One who doesn't complain about how difficult the road is. A man who prays and works hard at his appointed tasks. A man who has healthy relationships with girls and is supported by guy friends. A man who has a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for the blessings God has given me in family, friends, and relationships. A man who is thankful for what he has rather than longing for what he has not. A man who doesn't isolate himself so he can sin, but chooses community. A man who is courageous in the pursuit of his beloved. A man who chooses rather to die than to choose the path of comfort. A man who is loving, who is a loving son, brother, friend, husband, and father. A man who upholds the dignity of every woman, even when she doesn't. A man who follows through with his commitments, is punctual and disciplined. A man who is humble enough to ask for help and admits his mistakes. A man who has a heart of service and anticipates the needs of others. A man who thinks long-term and prepares a plan for the day when he is weak. A man who doesn't turn aside from his first love. A man who loves his future wife and children already now. A man who seeks the face of God, the pure of heart shall see God. A man who doesn't waste time doing fruitless and sinful activities. A man of courage who doesn't remain silent in the midst of injustice, especially towards his friends and loved ones. A man who has courage to initiate critical conversations with people. This is the man I want to be. And so every day, I recommit to that. And it helps give me focus in my relationships with other people as I encounter different trials or temptations in life. And I remind myself too, in many ways too, of the blessings that are kind of accompanied with living that out. Like, I know that that's the type of life that's going to be most fulfilling. Because sometimes it's easy to think, wow, I mean, all my friends are not doing that. Or, like, society's not doing that. You know, pop culture is telling me to do something else. But it's reminding myself, like, this is actually good, and it's the way it should be. So one, again, if we want to become that man, that man who God has created us to be, I think it starts with a mission statement. So I would encourage all of you guys, wherever you are in life, to start writing down the things, the qualities of the man you want to be. Write them down, and then write it into some sort of mission statement. And then as you go along in life, add to it. Add different things as it kind of shows. Usually for me, it's actually when I screw up, and I'm like, oh man, I want to remember that, then put that in my mission statement. So when I screw up, I actually add something to my mission statement. This is where I messed up. And this is, again, what I would have done differently next time. So try that. So one is mission statement. The next thing, I think, to actually live that out as a man, we're going to make mistakes. So the reality is that you might make a mission statement and then still make mistakes. So the second thing I think that's important is we have to become men of mercy. Merciful to yourself and merciful to other people. Because mercy is the only thing that will help you move forward. When you realize in yourself that, you know, I've messed up. And the thing too is, like, it's one thing, like, if you just, like, had a personal goal, like, I'm not going to eat a Twinkie before I work out. You know, like, oh, I eat a Twinkie, it's over. No, okay, well, fine, okay. It's different when there's other people involved. Where you let a friend down. Where you let your girlfriend down. Where you let your wife down. That cuts even more deeper. Because you're like, wow, I've really failed this time. The only way we move forward is being merciful to yourself. Show mercy to yourself. That's what God wants to do, especially through the sacrament of confession, right? You guys all know what the reconciliation is, right? I hope as you guys grow up and continue to walk with the Lord, that you keep that sacrament close to your heart. Because that's going to give you a lot of grace in life. When you mess up big time, I mean, don't beat yourself up over in this to the point where you don't move forward anymore. The sacrament of reconciliation is there to really say, you know what? God loves you, and He wants to see you get up rather than stay on the ground. So learn to be merciful to yourself. And in the midst of that too, you're going to learn even something more about your own heart, the thing of humility. Again, a man is not someone who has no mistakes, but he's willing to admit them, but not like let that be the end of the last story. You can still be a great man and have many weaknesses. And the reality is, you can't escape those weaknesses. But you can invite God into them. And hopefully, day by day, we're slowly, again, transforming our own heart in that way. So again, I think we have to become men of mercy. Stay close to confession. But the other thing too, I wanted to bring up forgiveness. Because one is being merciful to yourself. Forgive yourself for the things that you screwed up on. Okay? But many men, in many ways, remain boys because they choose not to forgive other people. There's a type of immaturity in a man's heart, I think, when he chooses not to forgive somebody. And in many ways, this blocks us from becoming a great man. If you want to be a great man, it's not saying, you know what, like, you hurt me so bad, and I'm going to hate you for the rest of my life. I'm going to show you how tough I am. You want to show how tough you are? Forgive him. And then he actually has no power over you. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus shows his greatest strength while upon the cross. It's while he's forgiving people. And so this is, again, the world is going to tell you that forgiveness and mercy is weakness. And you should hold grudges, and you should, like, hold that against people. It's a lie. There's nothing more... When I see this in, like, celebrities that have these huge, like, you know, battles with other people or whatever, and it's just on the world to display of, like, wow, like, he just can't get over the fact that he won't forgive that person. It's like, for me, all I see is a boy who's not becoming a man. If you want to become a man, learn how to forgive. And that's going to also, it's going to come into your marriages. I mean, be the first to forgive your wife. Don't wait until she comes running to you. Be a man, humble yourself, and forgive her. That's true strength in a man. So again, be merciful. Learn mercy, know mercy in yourself, but then also extend it to other people. So again, how do we help that man? Have a mission statement. Be merciful. The third thing, which is kind of what we did in the first activity, was we got to stop fighting our battles alone. I think, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys, like, maybe you haven't seen, like, some war movies are beautiful examples of this. Like, one of my favorites is Band of Brothers. It was an HBO series. And it followed this company, a group of guys in the war called Easy Company. And their whole thing is, like, you never leave a man behind. So if he just got shot on the field, and, you know, we got, like, a lot of guys coming at us right now, well, we go and get him before we get out of here. We leave no man behind. And so we have to stop fighting our battles alone. And this begins with the thing of trust. In this room, you might, I mean, find some of your greatest friends. Guys that you're going to journey with for the rest of your life. And these guys are going to help you become that man as well. Because they're going to keep you accountable. You want a friend. You want friends. Again, that's what I was surprised when you said, like, oh, man, if I was with my friends, like, you probably would, like, drop on her. Like, I was like, I wasn't expecting that. Because usually, you have more trust in your friends. Hopefully. But I kind of get it, like, we'll just joke around and we'll do that. But on some level, too, as I saw with my friends when I was in elementary school, I knew I couldn't trust them. Like, if I was vulnerable with them and I shared something like, you know what, guys, actually, I'm dealing with this right now, I bet they would have laughed at me. They actually wouldn't have supported me. And it's only been, like, in the last probably 8 years that I've really seen the good fruit that brotherhood can bring to your life. If you have, like, a few good brothers in your life, I mean, you're invincible. It's the whole thing of a battle. Like, that's why, like, guys, I think, love movies like 300, where you got this band of brothers together, and they're taking on, like, these incredible huge armies, but it's like, yo, I know you got my back, and I got your back, and I'm willing to lay down my life for you. And I think, too, the key thing is finding that in the church as well. Because you might have friends, too, that they're great guys, but they don't necessarily speak the language of faith. So coming back to the mission statement, you might have the mission of, like, you know what, I want to do what God wants best for my life. I want His will to be done in my life. When you might have a friend that's like, ah, dude, like, why even bring God into the question? Like, just do whatever you want. And so on some level, you're not really meeting them, and they can't really keep you accountable for that. So you want to find a guy, too, that, like, friends that really encourage you in the faith. Because then, too, they're going to call you to a higher thing. You might have friends, too, that, you know, we live in a very impure world. And so you might have some friends that are very comfortable showing you videos and pictures and movies. That's kind of, ah, guys, get over it. Like, it's whatever. It's everywhere. But you want to have friends in your life, like, no, like, I'm going to respect and protect the dignity of every woman, even if she doesn't. Even if she doesn't respect and see that as a gift in herself, like, I'm still going to respect and protect that. You want guys that are gonna keep you accountable. You don't want them like basically like throwing you garbage and saying, "Hey man, you wanna buy garbage? Like, I got a nice warm piece of dog crap for you. Would you like to try it out?" It's like, no, but since it's here, why not? Again, you don't want those types of friends that are, anyways, they're not really helping you become that man you want to be. But that's the whole thing, we're not to fight alone, not to journey alone. And so it's a movement out of that secrecy that it's easy then to try to fight your battles alone. But if you can find some good guy friends in your life where you can be vulnerable, where you can share your heart with, even your struggles with, and they're going to be there to support you, you'll be able to excel so much farther. So much farther. So again, mission statement, becoming a man of mercy. Don't fight your battles alone. Find brotherhood. The next one is, you know, how are we going to become this man? I think one of the keys to the heart of a man is we have to learn how to serve. I'll put this in another way. We have to learn how to die. Modern man is going to tell you, live a life of comfort. How can you be comfortable in this life? And it's going to throw every pleasure at you to say, be comfortable. You know, just play a ton of video games. Don't ever get involved in real life. Oh, take the easy route, you know, like with, you know, dating your girlfriend and, you know, just sleep with her. Drinking's not that bad. Getting drunk's not that bad. You know, drugs are not that bad. And all these different ways of, in many ways, it's just an easy life. But again, if we're looking at Jesus, Jesus is the model of the man. He's the man. What did Jesus say? I came not to be served, but to serve. So, on some level, the heart for us as a man is going to be found in giving our lives for another. And it starts really simple. It's basically like doing those things as a gift for another person, even though you don't want to. So, the fact that maybe you guys are still living at home, your folks, you know, you can see that, like, okay, well, I know my mom always does the dishes after dinner by herself. You know, I'm going to help her. I'm not going to wait for her to ask me to do that. I'm going to do it anyways. Or I know, like, you know, even cleaning up the table afterwards, I just run up as soon as I eat, I'm gone. You know, like, I'm going to serve my parents by doing that. Or, you know, like, yeah, your brother or your sister, like, I don't know, you know that they like certain things, whatever, and so you do a kind act of service. This is all, it's all preparing our hearts in many ways for the great death. You guys kind of all heard like the saints of the church that are martyrs, like the ones that like give their lives for Christ. The thing is that they don't just wake up one day and they're like, I'm going to die for Jesus today. And then they, like, you know, Maximilian Kolbe, he like freely gives his life, you know, at the concentration camps, like, take my life instead of this man. The only reason he's able to do that is because he was already dying deaths along the way. He was sacrificing his life in small ways that when the big death came, it wasn't such a big step because, like, well, I've already been dying all the way. Putting it another way, I live with tons of guys. Like, when I was doing my undergrad, I lived in a house with, like, 7 other Catholic guys. I live in Toronto now with 3 other guys. And many of them, you know, they start dating, they get engaged, they get married, they move out. And I really tell the guys, like this is the training ground for marriage. You don't just, like, magically one day wake up when you're married and say, oh, I just love taking up the trash, and I love, like, doing all these things for my wife. No, like, you have to start doing it in small ways before you get there. So really, really start to think about that. How can I give my life as a gift to another person? Where can I lay down my life today? And it could be for that, you know, that kid in class that, you know, he is just the butt end of every joke. You know, today I'm going to lay down my life for him And I'm just going to tell the guy, hey, guy, that's kind of an old joke. Like, can we just get on with life? You know, I'm going to lay down my life for him. There's different ways that you can actually do that just in your ordinary life. You don't have to go off to, like, Africa and start serving the poor, which is a beautiful thing to do for service. But it starts really close to home, really simple ways. And I'll tell you this, too, again, too, like, I imagine hopefully most of you guys will maybe get married or maybe become a priest or whatever God is calling you to do. But I remember that one of my buddy at bachelor parties, and his father-in-law was there as well. We were just kind of sitting around like this, having a beer and just talking, whatever. And they asked him, they're like, do you have any advice for this son-in-law? Like, he's going to marry your daughter pretty soon. Like, do you have any advice, you know, how to make a great marriage work? And he said this, you have to kill the single man. And in many ways, what he meant was, you got to kill what is selfish in you. If you want to learn how to love, you got to put the needs of the other person ahead of your own. And so, again, for us, in many ways, again, becoming that man, if we want to become like Jesus as well, like, we have to learn how to serve. Laying down your life for others. Okay, so we have doing the mission statement. What's the second one? You're going to mess up with the mission statement. What do you got to be then?
Living your life with mercy.
Mercy. Okay. The third thing.
Forgiveness.
That was kind of tied in with mercy. Yeah, yeah. It's what we got going on right here.
Community.
Yeah, brotherhood. Don't fight your battles alone. And the fourth one we just talked about? Service, okay. The last one, again, I think what's going to really help us become that man is we have to become men of prayer. In prayer is really where I think God is going to reveal your truest identity, and he's also going to reveal your mission. And it comes in that order. It's first identity, and then mission. And for each one of us here, your deepest identity is that you are loved by God. And the more that we rest in that as our identity, the more, in many ways, you're invincible. Because it doesn't matter how popular you are, how good-looking you are to the world's standards, how athletic you are, how much money you have, you know what kind of education you have, whatever really the world is going to throw at you, if your deepest identity is that I'm loved beyond measure by God, you're invincible. And St. Paul talks about that. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Will persecution, will famine, will nakedness, will even the sword? I don't know if you heard just recently, in Yemen, I think it was 4 missionaries of charity, so Mother Teresa's order, 4 of the sisters, and then 20 of the old people that they were serving were all gunned down by ISIS. This happened just a few days ago. But here's the thing, even that doesn't separate them from the love of God. Even the sword will not separate you from it. So even when you're persecuted for your faith at school, by other people, whatever else, it doesn't change the fact that your truest and deepest identity is that you're loved. And I'll tell you this, if you're loved, this world is a very different place. And I know that's true because if you're unloved, this world is a very brutal place. And yeah, there's just a difference between the way that, even, again, we all come from different types of families. Some of them are great families, some of them are difficult families. And so sometimes we've never, you know, even in the home, experienced a type of unconditional love. Maybe we've also kind of experienced a conditional love of my parents towards me. It's only when I'm doing good at school that they love me. or they're nicer to me. Or, you know, when I'm doing well in the sports teams, then they're nicer to me, they love me more. Or when I clean my room, or when I do this or do that, that, you know, it still feels very conditional. And so I just bring it up to acknowledge that, again, just know that you're not alone in the fact that nobody has a perfect home. Nobody has perfect parents. But we all have a Heavenly Father who loves us without measure. And in prayer, that's where He loves you up. And so hopefully every day then, you make it a point, just as like you would to have breakfast or brush your teeth or take a shower. Hopefully you do all those things in the morning. Or at least in the evening or sometime. They're important things to do. But just like you would schedule time for that, set it aside, that you're also doing that for prayer. Because prayer is really where God wants to communicate to you that love. And He wants it to completely transform your life. I'll share briefly, when I was born, I had these three fingers and these two fingers webbed together. It's kind of cool if you want to be like a doggy paddle champion of the world. And so I had surgery around when I was like 4 years old. So you can still kind of see the scars on my hands. They were much more defined when I was younger. But, you know, I struggled for a long time with identity. And maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you have even something just in your own body. You're like, I'm ashamed of this part of my body. Or something about me. Or even too with family. I'm ashamed that I come from this family. Or I'm ashamed that I can't escape this part of my past. And for a long time, again, I carried that shame of my hands. That I could never really be myself in front of people. Because I'm imperfect. And it wasn't until I was about 19 years old, I was playing a song. I was writing a song. And then this line came to me. And the line was, "And I will let it go, and I won't care to show. Who I am is who you love. And I'm overjoyed." I remember just weeping. But it wasn't because I was sad. I was actually overjoyed. It was the first time in my 19 years of life I actually looked at myself. And I said, like, I'm lovable. I'm actually beautiful. And I felt that was God's words spoken to me. And so I hope each one of us can hear that voice of the Father affirming us. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And God wants to communicate that to us personally. Because He knows our insecurities. He knows where, you know what, God, like, I kind of wish I looked more like Billy or Bob. Like, then I would be more comfortable in my skin. The reality is I'm not in their skin. But God wants to speak a very personal word into your life of how you are very important to Him. And He's not talking about the person beside you, He's talking about you. And when we take that on more as our identity, again, too, it transforms our life. I don't walk anymore as just like I'm a busted piece of DNA. I see myself as, man, I am personally loved by God. And this, again, like I said, it flows into mission. Now God, when we take time to pray, we're hopefully asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? I give my life to you. And again, too, you could have great plans for your life. Maybe again, too, you want to do this type of job or that type of job or go here, do that. But I'll tell you this. If you invite God into your journey, like we were talking about the road to Emmaus, right? If you invite Him into your journey, you're going to go on the greatest possible adventure of your life. It's actually the most exciting, but it's also going to be the most fulfilling. And so again, in prayer, this is where we're asking God, reveal that to me. Where do you want me to be? And for maybe it is too, like, to be a priest. We might have fears of, like, okay, well, like, how could I ever be happy in that type of life? But again, as we're being more affirmed as loved by God, God would never call us to something that is not going to be awesome. And so then if we feel like he's calling us there, oh man, like, how could I say no? It's actually going to be the best thing ever. So again, this is how, again, we stay on that path of becoming the man we want to be by prayer. So what were the five things, again, the five pillars, I would say? You want to become that great man? What are five pillars?
Mission statement.
So, making a mission statement.
Mercy.
Community.
Service. And being a man of prayer.
Amen. And so I think, guys, like, try as much as you can. Again, when this retreat's over too, write some of those things down. But I hope, again, already now, you started on that journey. I meet many guys, even in my travels with music and stuff, that, you know, they're kind of late to the game, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to ask God later on in life to become, you know, whatever, and I got other plans right now. I got to do other things. But I'll tell you this one thing. I met a guy when I was 20, and I was living in Ottawa, and I was driving down to Toronto every weekend to play one mass at a youth mass. And there was this guy that was, he always came early, set up the sound equipment, stayed late to tear down the sound. So I saw this week after week. So eventually I just approached the guy. I was like, hey, thanks for doing that. Like, it means a lot that you would take time to do that. It means I don't have to do it, so it makes my life easier. And he was like, oh, no, don't worry about it. It's mine. Like, yeah. I felt like he wasn't receiving my thanks. I was like, no, like, dude, like, I'm thankful. Like, just say you're welcome. Like, that's all I want to hear. He's like, oh, no worries. And I was like, what's up with this guy? And he told me his story. He's like, I came to the faith late, so he's probably in his late 40s, early 50s. And he's like, I've done a lot of things in life. And he rolled up his sleeve, and he had this huge scar on his arm. He used to be in a gang, so it was from a gang fight. I'm not sure if it was a knife or a bullet or something. But he's like, I've done a lot of things in my life. And only recently have I kind of come back to faith. But he's like, the only thing I regret in my life is that I didn't serve the Lord in my youth. And he's like, you have no idea how lucky you are being a young person and being able to give the Lord that gift to him. Because I can't give him my youth anymore. I can only give him what I have now. So I see every opportunity. That's why I don't mind staying late at church to help out with this, and I don't mind coming early to help out with this, because I just want to see every opportunity now as something to give back to the Lord. And so really see this time of your life as a gift. And I think if you use a gift well, it bears amazing fruit in the end. And that's my hope for each one of you guys. That's my prayer for each one of you guys. Because the fact that even you're here this weekend already means that, I mean, not only God's doing something in your life, but you're opening yourself up to that greatness that many guys never open themselves up to. And if they do, they open up late. And I just can't help but think, like, yeah, like, I could be sitting in the room right now with some of the next future saints. And I hope that, I mean, if we keep on pressing down that road together, it's not impossible, actually. It's very possible. So I think that kind of brings us to the end. Are there any questions or thoughts or comments or anything?
I guess I see it from this group of guys right here. You've got to be spiritual leaders when we grow up, because this world's so secular, and if there isn't a voice telling people that what they're doing is sinful, what they're doing is wrong, then we just go to church each week, but when we're actually living in the world, we're not setting an example, then there's not going to be any possibility of change.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to be that light in the world already now. That you might get some backlash from people, but at the same time too, every other guy in the world too is seeking. Even if they're kind of looking for it in the wrong place. Like I said before, some guys think that, you know, the true strength of a man is crushing other people. Well, he's got a bit of a, it's a bit of a perversion. It's a bit of, I mean, it's not, but he's, the idea is that, again, like, I'm seeking after greatness. And so, yeah, don't be afraid even now to be that light, because, I mean, hopefully you're going to awaken other guys up. And they're going to want to get on board as well. Sounds good?
Yeah.
Sounds good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Everyone's still awake?
Yeah.
Good? Yeah, why don't we, I think it's 12 now, why don't we close off in prayer? And we'll have some lunch there. So, if you'd like to join me, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are your sons. Jesus, we are your brothers. Please give us the strength we need to live a holy life, a life that is pure, a life that is honest, a life that is filled with integrity, courage. Lord, just give us everything we need each day to live that out. Help us not to be afraid of when ridicule comes from other people, or even when temptation comes and we feel very weak. We just rely more upon your mercy in our life, that you love us with a tender heart of a father. May we be more and more filled with that identity as loved by you. May you speak into each one of our hearts that personal love, Lord, as we continue through this day and through the rest of these days. Help us to know you. Help us to know you as true and real. Reveal yourself more and more to us. And give us, Lord, a great desire to pray, to communicate to you, to hear from you. Lord, we pray for all of our brothers who don't know you, who are trapped in lifestyles that in many ways are destroying just the good gifts that you've given them. We pray for them, and Lord, give us the courage to reach out to them. To be a witness in the world, a light that shines brightly. And Lord, I just pray too that you may fill us with your joy, that we might be men of good humor and laughter. And together, Lord, we'll pray the prayer that you taught us, so that we might follow after you. We pray, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.